Now titles appear, outlined with red falling streaks of light against a black background. Mario Casar and Andrew Vanya present a Carolco Ronald Shusett production, a Paul Verhoeven film. The letters grow larger with each title until they fill the screen. Arnold Schwarzenegger in Total Recall. With Rachel Ticotin, Sharon Stone, Michael Ironside, Marshall Bell, Michael Champion, Mel Johnson Jr., Roy Brocksmith, Rosemary Dunsmore, and Ronnie Cox. Casting by Mike Fenton, CSA, Judy Taylor, CSA, and Valerie Masalas. Associate producers Elliot Schick and Robert Fentress. Music by Jerry Goldsmith. Costume designer Erica Adele Phillips. Edited by Frank J. Uriosti, ACE. Production designer William Sandel. Special makeup effects designed and created by Rob Botten. Director of photography Jost Vacano. Inspired by the short story We Can Remember It For You Wholesale by Philip K. Dick. Executive producers Mario Casar and Andrew Vanya. Screen story by Ronald Shusett, Dan O'Bannon, and John Poville. Screenplay by Ronald Shusett, Dan O'Bannon, and Gary Goldman. Produced by Buzz Feitchens and Ronald Shusett. Directed by Paul Verhoeven. The shafts of red light glide down and disappear. The screen goes black. Now our view glides up a craggy rock face and sails over a deep, yawning canyon. The sky and the land glow a rich red. Two people in silver spacesuits with flattened oxygen tanks on their backs stand at the edge of a cliff and scan the bleak, desert-like landscape. A huge moon hangs low beside a rugged mountain. Their gloved hands clasped, the man and woman turn to gaze at each other. Ruggedly handsome and smiling, he caresses her helmet. She gazes at him from behind a glass face shield. His hand lingers for a moment before he turns and continues walking along the edge of the cliff. The woman follows close behind. He steps on loose soil and skids down the sheer rock face. His face shield shatters on a rock. Shuddering in agony, his tongue swells like a balloon and his eyes bulge out of their sockets. The man bolts up in bed.
Honey, are you all right?
His sultry blonde wife sits up beside him.
You're dreaming. Doug? Is it about Mars?
Rubbing his bare, muscular chest, she places soft, nibbling kisses on his lips.
Is that better? My poor baby. This is getting to be an obsession.
Kissing his face and neck, she cradles his head against her shoulder. Her expression darkens.
Was she there?
Who?
The one you told me about. Brunette.
Oh, Lori.
Doug falls back on the pillows.
Lori. I can't believe you're jealous of a dream.
Who is she?
Nobody.
Nobody? What's her name?
I don't know.
She straddles his stomach.
Tell me.
I don't know.
She flails at his chest.
Oh. It's not funny. Doug, you dream about her every night.
But I'm always back in the morning.
Let me go.
She tries to crawl away. He pulls her back.
Come on, baby. You know you're the girl of my dreams.
You mean it?
You know I do.
Doug wraps his bulging muscular arms around her. Their mouths lock in a hungry kiss.
Give you something to dream about.
With a teasing smile, she unties the front of her silky white teddy and lies back. Doug climbs on top of her. She wraps her legs around his waist.
The chairman defended the attack.
Morning. Doug blends a thick drink while he watches TV.
Against the Southern bloc's numerical superiority. And more violence last night on Mars, where terrorists demanding independence once again halted the extraction of terbinium ore.
Doug frowns at an underground battle on screen.
Quato and his so-called Freedom Brigade claim credit for this latest bombing, which attempted to reopen the sealed-off pyramid mines.
Soldiers shoot an unarmed rebel.
Mars military restored order with minimal use of force, and all damage to the strategic facility was repaired within hours. With one mine already closed, Mars Administrator Vilos Cohagen vowed that troops would be used, if necessary, to keep production at full capacity. At the press conference today...
No wonder you're having nightmares. You're always watching the news.
She switches to a placid lake scene, which fills the whole wall.
Lori?
Doug?
Let's do it.
Do what?
Move to Mars.
Honey, why do you have to spoil a perfectly wonderful morning?
Just think about it.
Sweetheart, we've been through this a million times. You'd hate it on Mars. It's dry, it's ugly, it's boring. I mean, really, a revolution could break out there any second.
Cohagen says it's just a few extremists.
You believe him?
Lori meets his troubled gaze with a grin. He smiles faintly.
Okay. Forget about it.
He reaches for the remote control.
Absolutely not. Mars was colonized by the Northern Bloc at enormous expense. Our entire war effort depends on their terbinium.
Lori slips into his lap, blocking his view.
Give it away just because a bunch of lazy mutants think they own the planet.
Mr. Cohagen,
sir. Maybe we should take a trip.
Hmm? Any comments, sir, on the rumor
Don't
that
move,
you've closed
please.
The pyramid
She waves her hands in front of his face.
Artifacts inside.
There's a lot better places
Lori.
Than Mars.
Hats.
What about Saturn? Don't you want to see Saturn? Nice
As she artifacts. Nuzzles his neck, Doug sneaks a look at the screen.
Everybody says it's gorgeous.
But the fact is, it's Mr. Quato and his terrorists who spread these rumors to undermine trust in the government.
We could take one of those long space cruises.
Yes, Bill.
Come with nothing to
Have
do.
You found Quato yet?
We don't even know what he looks like.
What do you say?
That's it for the news. Stay tuned for Christine and the weather. But first this.
He moves her off his lap.
Tonight on ESPN, the fifth game of the World
Sweetheart.
Series. Live from Tokyo.
Doug?
She stands between him and the door.
I know it's hard being in a new town. Let's give it a chance, okay?
Lori, don't you understand? I feel like I was meant for something more than this. I want to do something with my life. I want to be somebody.
You are somebody. You're the man I love.
Doug drops his unsettled gaze to the floor.
Bye.
He squeezes past her.
Have a nice day.
Lori's bright smile fades as she lowers her gray eyes in thought. Now, Doug strides through a multi-level drab concrete terminal crowded with commuters. Lighted signs read Metro Security. Doug joins a line of pedestrians walking behind an X-ray screen. Their moving skeletons glow fluorescent blue.
You are now entering a safety zone. No unauthorized weapons allowed beyond this point.
A panel of security guards scans each pedestrian as they pass through. Doug emerges in front of a man with a guide dog. Now, Doug steps onto a crowded subway car lined with television monitors.
But you're snowed under with work? Do you dream of a vacation at the bottom of the ocean? But you can't float the bill? Have you always wanted to climb the mountains of Mars?
Transfixed, Doug stares at a screen.
But now you're over the hill? Then come to Recall Incorporated, where you can buy the memory of your ideal vacation cheaper, safer, and better than the real thing. So don't let life pass you by. Call Recall for the memory of a lifetime.
For the memory of a lifetime, Recall, Recall, Recall.
Later at a construction site, the metal frame of a five-story building looms dark against a blue sky. Alongside other workers in hard hats, Doug drills at the stony ground, his bulging arms glistening with sweat. A chubby, balding man drills next to him.
Harry! Give her a recall?
Recall?
You know where they sell those fake memories.
A recall! Recall, recall, recall! Thinking of going there?
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, don't.
Why not?
A friend of mine tried one of their special offers. Nearly got himself lobotomized.
No shit.
Don't fuck with your brain, pal. It ain't worth it.
It's not.
Doug frowns to himself and returns to his drilling. Harry watches him through narrowed, suspicious eyes. Later, Doug walks across a flat concrete plaza toward a stark, angular gray building. He enters a nearly empty lobby and stops at a computerized information terminal. He types on the keyboard. The screen reads, Recall Incorporated, Mr. McLean, Dr. Lull, and Dr. Edgemar. He highlights McLean. A map flashes on the screen. Now a woman touches a pen to her fingernails. They instantly turn from blue to red. Doug walks in.
Hello.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Recall.
Douglas Quaid. I have an appointment.
The young black woman dials a video phone.
Bob?
Yeah?
Doug Quaid is here to see you.
Yeah, I'll be right up.
Okay. That'll be just 1 minute, Mr. Quaid.
Thank you.
She sizes him up with a leering smile, then turns her nails green. A sandy-haired man emerges from an office with a broad grin.
Doug! Bob McLean, it's good to see you.
Nice to meet you.
Come on in, it's through here. Go ahead and have a seat, make yourself comfortable.
Thank you.
Now, help me out here, Doug. You were interested in a memory of,
Mars.
Yeah, Mars.
Did a problem?
To be perfectly honest with you, Doug, if outer space is your thing, I think you would be much happier with one of our Saturn cruises. Everybody raves about them.
Now, I'm not interested in Saturn. I said Mars.
Okay. You're the boss. Mars it is.
Scenes from Mars play on a monitor.
Now, let me see. The basic Mars package will run you 899 credits. Now, that's for 2 full weeks of memories, complete in every detail. If you want a longer trip, that'll cost you a little more because it's a deeper implant.
What's in the 2 week package?
Well, first of all, Doug, let me tell you, when you go recall, you get nothing but first class memories. Private cabin on the shuttle, deluxe suite at the Hilton, plus all the major sites, Mount Pyramid, the Grand Canals, and of course, Venusville.
Yeah, but how real does it seem?
As real as any memory in your head.
Come on, don't bullshit me.
No, I'm telling you, Doug, your brain will not know the difference. And that's guaranteed, or your money back.
What about the guy you lobotomized? Did he get a refund?
McLean smiles and wags a playful finger.
You're talking ancient history. Nowadays, traveling with recall is safer than getting on a rocket. Check out those statistics. Besides, a real holiday is a pain in the butt. You got lost luggage, lousy weather, crooked taxi drivers. When you travel with recall, everything is perfect. So what do you say?
Quaid hesitates, then smiles.
All right.
Smart move. All right, while you fill out this questionnaire, I'm going to familiarize you with some of our options.
No options.
Whatever you say. Could I ask you just one question, though? What is it that is exactly the same about every single vacation you have ever taken?
I give up.
You? You're the same. No matter where you go, there you are. It's always the same old you. Let me suggest that you take a vacation from yourself. And I know, it sounds wild. It is the latest thing in travel. We call it the ego trip.
No, I'm not interested in that.
You're going to love this, Doug. We offer you a choice of alternate identities during your trip. Face it. Why go to Mars as a tourist when you can go as a playboy or a famous jock or...
Secret agent. How much is that?
Let me tantalize you. You are a top operative, back under deep cover on your most important mission. People are trying to kill you left and right. You meet this beautiful, exotic woman...
Go on.
I don't want to spoil it for you, Doug, But you rest assured, by the time the trip is over, you get the girl, kill the bad guys, and save the entire planet. Now you tell me, isn't that worth a measly 300 credits?
Quaid smiles, his eyes wide with excitement. Now, still smiling, he leans back in a chair, surrounded by a massive machine the size of a car. A blue chamber circles his head.
Is your first trip?
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't worry. Things hardly ever fuck up around here.
A woman in a lab coat.
Good evening, Doug. I'm Dr. Lull.
Nice to meet you.
Ernie Patch in Matrix 62B37. And would you like us to integrate some alien stuff?
Sure. Why not?
She turns on a monitor.
Two-headed monsters?
Don't you keep up with the news? We're doing alien artifacts now.
It's wild.
Yeah, they date back a million years.
An image of massive steel pipes.
Ernie?
That's a new one. Blue sky on Mars.
Been married long?
8 years.
Oh, I see. Slipping away for a little hanky-panky.
But really, I was always
all
fascinated
by Mars.
She holds an anesthetic gun to his neck.
Ready for dreamland? I'll be asking you some questions, Doug, so we can fine-tune the ego program. If you answer honestly, you'll enjoy yourself a whole lot more. Your sexual orientation?
Hetero.
She grins. The monitor reads, menu select, women.
So, how do you like your women? Blonde? Brunette? Redhead?
Brunette.
The computer selects a curly-haired brunette.
Slim. Athletic. Voluptuous.
Quaid's eyes start to droop closed.
Athletic.
The computer graphs a woman's body and attaches the dark-haired head.
Demure, aggressive, sleazy, be honest.
Sleazy.
The sharp-featured, red-haired doctor raises her eyebrows.
Demure.
The computer flashes a series of codes.
41A, Ernie.
Why, is he going to have a wild time? He's not going to want to come back.
Oh, that's for sure.
Quaid stares groggily at the screen. The computerized model transforms into the image of a real woman, the brunette from his dream. Dr. Lull and Ernie grin down at him as he falls asleep, his head sagging to one side. Now in Bob's office, a woman watches a bare-chested, muscular weightlifter on the monitor.
So, what do you say?
I'm not so sure, and I don't get a souvenir.
Not true.
Dr. Lull's panic-stricken face appears on the video phone.
Snapshots of you at the site, and even
the receptionist bangs on his window and points at the phone.
Bob!
Now what is it?
You better get down here.
Look, I am with a very important client.
It looks like we got another schizoid embolism.
He slams the phone shut.
I'll be right back.
Mr. McClain? Mr. McClain?
Bob, what's wrong?
Don't let her leave!
McClain runs to the lab, where Dr. Lull and Ernie struggle to restrain Quaid.
Get off you!
He kicks Ernie into the wall.
You blew my cover! What the fuck is going on here? You can't do a simple goddamn double implant!
It's not my fault we hit a memory cap!
They'll be here any minute! They killed you all!
What the hell is he talking about?
I don't know.
Let me go!
Mr. Quaid, try to calm down!
He grabs McClain by the throat.
My name is not Quaid. You know, untie me now!
Grab his leg!
Untie me!
Hold it down, Quaid!
Dr. Lull shoots injection after injection of anesthetic into Quaid's leg. Finally, his ferocious snarl fades and his grip on McClane's throat slackens. He sinks back into the chair, then goes completely limp.
Are you all right? Listen to me. He has been going on and on about Mars. He has really been there.
Use your head, you dumb bitch. He's just acting out the secret agent portion of his ego trip.
I'm afraid that's not possible.
Why not?
Because we haven't implanted it yet.
McClane's eyes grow wide with worry.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
I've been trying to tell you. Someone has erased his memory.
Wait, excuse me. Someone? We're talking about the fucking agency.
Shut up! Bob, the client's gone.
Okay. All right. All right, look, here's what we're going to do. Renata, cover up any memory that he's got of us or recall.
I'll do what I can. It's pretty messy in there.
Ernie, dump him in a cab around the corner. Tiffany, you help him. I'm going to destroy his file and refund his money. And if anybody comes asking, we never even heard of Douglas Quaid.
Later, squat tank-like cars zip along a grungy highway. An unconscious Quaid sits in the back seat of a cab. His eyes flutter open. He scans his surroundings with a confused frown.
Where am I?
The mannequin-like driver spins around.
You're in a Johnny Cab.
I mean, what am I doing here?
I'm sorry. Would you please rephrase the question?
Huh? How did I get in this taxi?
The door opened. You got in.
The mechanical driver rolls his eyes.
Hell of a day, isn't it?
Quaid's mouth drops open slightly. The cab pulls into the looming, angular apartment and metro complex, its sides sloped like a pyramid. Inside, the blue cab stops at a staircase.
This okay?
Right here.
Thank you for taking Johnny Cab.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed the ride.
Hey, Quaid!
Gary, how was your trip to Mars?
What trip?
You went to Recall, remember?
I did?
Yeah, you did. I told you not to, but you went anyway.
What are you, my father?
Come on, I'll buy you a drink.
Listen, I'm already late. Thank you very much. But
three burly men grab him. Harry pulls out a gun.
Down here, Harry! Come on, move it! Let's go get that drink!
They drag him into an empty stairwell.
What the fuck did I do wrong? Tell me!
You blabbed, Quaid! You blabbed about Mars!
Are you crazy? I don't even know anything about Mars!
You should have listened to me, Quaid. I was there to keep you out of trouble.
They throw him against a concrete wall.
Harry, you're making a big mistake. You got me mixed up with somebody else.
Pal. You got yourself mixed up with somebody.
Quaid kicks the gun from Harry's hand, then grabs two others by the hair and smashes their heads together. He karate chops one in the face. Blood splatters everywhere. He grinds a boot into Harry's jaw and forces it back. One man wraps him in a headlock. Quaid spins out of his grip and wrenches him off the ground by his neck. Another thug grabs the gun. Quaid turns it on him. Quaid gazes down at the four corpses, each lying in a pool of blood. Stunned, he stares at the gun, then at his own blood-stained hands. He drops the weapon and stumbles away. Our view glides up to the next floor, where light glows warmly in an apartment window. Now in Quaid's apartment, wearing a black spandex unitard, Laurie copies the motions of a life-size transparent hologram of a tennis player.
And shift. And stroke. Very good. Perfect four.
Quaid rushes in.
And shift. And stroke.
Hi, honey.
Frantically, he turns off all the lights.
And shift.
What are you doing?
Some men just tried to kill me.
Muggers? Are you all right?
No, they were spies or something. And Harry from work, he was the... Get down! Harry from work, he was the boss.
Take it easy, Doug, okay? Tell me exactly what happened. Why would spies want to kill you?
I don't know, but it had something to do with Mars.
Mars? You've never even been to Mars.
I know it sounds crazy, but see, I went to this Recall place after work.
You went to those brain butchers?
Well, let me finish.
What did they do to you? Tell me.
I got a trip to Mars, and so what happened was... Well, forget about Recall,
Doug.
Will you? These guys were going to kill me.
Doug, nobody tried to kill you.
They did, but I killed them.
Listen to me, sweetheart. Those assholes at Recall have fucked up your mind. You're having paranoid delusions.
You call this a delusion?
He holds up his blood-soaked hands, then rips off his jacket.
Doug? Doug, I'm gonna call a doctor.
Don't call anybody.
He disappears into the bathroom as Laurie turns on the video phone.
Hello?
A hard-featured man with sunken eyes appears on the monitor. Laurie takes a deep breath. In the bathroom, Quaid washes the blood off his hands and splashes his face with water. He stares at his reflection for a moment, then opens the door. He dives behind a counter.
Laurie, go! Get out!
He pokes his head up. A flashlight beams in his face. He rolls across the floor. A picture of him and Laurie chatters. The shadowy gunman reloads. Quaid hurls a chair across the room, knocking the gun away. He lunges at the figure and wrestles it to the ground, then throws himself against a wall and reaches for a light switch.
Lori!
She elbows him viciously in the ribs, then punches his groin. Quaid backs away, fending off her karate kicks. Lori kicks him between the legs, then in the back. Quaid grabs her arm and throws her over the kitchen counter. Eyeing him warily, she crawls to her feet and gropes in the sink behind her. She grabs a gleaming, foot-long knife.
Why are you doing this, Lori?
She slashes his abdomen, then his forearm. As she lunges, Quaid grabs her knife hand and forces it behind her back. She drops it. Lori dives for the gun. Quaid grabs it first and holds it to her cheek.
Talk. I said talk!
I'm not your wife!
The hell you're not.
I swear to God, I never saw you before 6 weeks ago. Our marriage is just a memory implant.
You think I'm stupid? Remember our wedding?
It was implanted by the agency.
Falling in love?
Implanted.
Our friends, my job, 8 years together. Suppose all of this was implanted too?
The job's real. The agency set it up.
Bullshit.
He throws her down and stalks away.
They erased your identity and implanted a new one. I was written in as your wife so that I could watch you and make sure the erasure took.
Quaid stares at her, his brow furrowed in a hurt, disbelieving frown.
Sorry, Quaid. Your whole life is just a dream.
Okay, then. If I'm not me, who the hell am I?
Beats me. I just work here.
Still holding the gun, Quaid sinks onto a kitchen stool. Lori climbs wearily onto the one next to him.
Doug. Doug, there's something I want you to know. You were the best assignment I ever had. Really.
I'm honored.
You sure you don't want to? Just for old time's sake? Come on. If you don't trust me, you can tie me up.
She slips off her unitard straps.
I didn't know you're so kinky.
Maybe it's time you found out.
Her eyes dart toward a video intercom over his shoulder where agents fill the lobby.
Clever girl.
He holds the gun to her head.
You wouldn't shoot me, would you, Doug? After all we've been through?
Some of it was fun. Nice knowing you.
Leaving Lori sprawled on the floor, Quaid grabs his jacket and ducks out into the Stark cement complex. He jogs down a set of stairs. Passersby stare at his exposed gun, which he hurriedly tucks into his jacket. On the floor below him, four agents dash toward the staircase. Quaid squeezes against a cement pillar and waits for them to pass, then runs in the opposite direction. Now the agents storm into the apartment. A dark-haired gunman crouches beside Lori. The hard-featured man kicks him away.
Don't touch her.
Nobody here.
He takes her shoulders.
Are you okay?
I guess I blew it.
What does he remember?
Nothing so far.
I've got him.
An agent with short blonde hair and glasses holds up a video scanner. A blinking red dot moves along a three-dimensional model of a building. Downstairs, Quaid heads for the metro.
Shit, he's going for the subway. Let's get him going.
Let's go, move it!
The other three agents bolt out the door. The sunken-eyed, hard-featured man wearing a black suit lags behind. He grabs Lori. She wraps her arms around his neck in a feverish, voracious kiss.
Pack your stuff and get out of here.
What if they bring him back?
Chance.
Lori bows her head and heaves a deep, troubled sigh. Downstairs, two more agents join the chase.
Subway, go!
Guns drawn, the agents sprint into the metro station. Quaid pushes through a crowd and runs behind the X-ray screen.
Hey.
His skeleton stops. His gun blinks red.
Get him! He's got a gun!
The security guards run behind the screen, showing up as skeletons. Quaid looks from them to the agents who approach from the other side. His skeleton springs toward us. In slow motion, Quaid dives through the screen. Shaking glass from his hair and clothes, he spins around and keeps running. The agents scramble after him. Quaid elbows his way through a crowd of commuters and slips around a corner. The agents skid to a stop. The blonde man holds up his scanner.
The escalator.
You four go up. You come with me.
A man in black and the blonde agent take off after Quaid, who shoves his way up a packed escalator. Guns in hand, the other four agents race up a staircase, knocking people out of the way. Quaid shoots a frantic look over his shoulder at his pursuers. Eyes wide, he pulls the gun out of his jacket as he nears the top of the escalator. The people in front of him duck. Three agents stand waiting, with their guns aimed. Bullets tear through the man directly in front of Quaid. Using the mangled corpse as a shield, he fires back, riddling all four agents full of bullet holes. He whirls around, sees the man in black, and hauls the corpse around to absorb the gunfire. He tosses the body down the stairs, knocking the blonde agent off his feet. At the top of the escalator, Quaid takes off. The man in black sprints after him, stepping on the blood-soaked body of one of his men.
The platform!
Quaid flies up a staircase.
Which way? To the right!
Quaid shoots out of the stairwell onto a boarding platform and runs alongside a moving subway car. He smashes a window with his handgun. The man in black and the blonde agent fire into the crowded car. Quaid dives through the window and hits the floor. The car disappears into a tunnel. The man in black whirls around with a maniacal snarl. Covered with broken glass, Quaid gets to his feet. The other passengers eye him fearfully.
Don't settle for pale memories. Don't go for fake implants. Experience space travel the old-fashioned way on a real, live holiday you can afford.
With a wry smile, he turns away from the monitor and shakes his head. Now in the metro station.
I want that fucker dead.
I don't blame you, man. I wouldn't want a guy like Quaid porking my old lady.
You saying she likes it?
No, I'm sure she hated every minute of it.
The blonde agent grins. Then both climb into a car with gull-wing doors.
Richter here, patching through.
You're on, Mr. Cohagen. What the fuck is going on down there?
I'm trying to neutralize a traitor, sir.
If I wanted him dead, you moron, I wouldn't have dumped him on Earth.
We can't let him run around. He knows too much.
Laurie says he can't remember jack shit.
That's now. In an hour, he could have total recall.
Listen to me, Richter. I want Quaid delivered alive for reimplantation. Have you got that? I want him back in place with Laurie.
Richter fiddles with a knob.
Did you hear me?
What was that, sir? I couldn't
Richter,
hear you.
What are you doing?
Helm studies his scanner.
I got Quaid again.
Switching to another channel, sir. I've got sunspot.
Check this. Call him back. Call him back.
I'm losing you. Where is he?
Second level, Galleria.
You should have killed Quaid on Mars.
The low, wide-bodied brown car zooms away, scattering a handful of pedestrians. Now Quaid jogs onto a street crowded with people and cars. Bright neon billboards read Fujifilm, Coca-Cola, and Philips Audio Video. Panting, he scans his surroundings, then turns and sees a small sign that reads Hotel Ritz. He follows its red neon arrow. Richter and Helm.
How we doing?
Fine.
A red dot blinks on the scanner.
We're zooming in.
We got it!
Now Quaid walks into a shabby hotel room and flicks on a light. The dull gray walls are scarred and grimy. Part of the room stands unpainted. A videophone sits on a black bureau. Quaid eyes it suspiciously, then lowers the receiver. A rugged, 30-ish man appears.
If you want to live, don't hang up.
What do you want?
They've got your bug. They'll be busting down your door in about 3 minutes unless you do exactly what I say.
Quaid feels his jacket.
Don't bother searching. The bug's in your skull.
He stares at his reflection in a dusty mirror.
Who are you?
Never mind. Wet a towel and wrap it around your head. That'll muffle the signal.
How'd you find me?
I'd advise you to hurry. This'll buy you some time. They won't be able to pinpoint you.
Quaid crosses the room to a sink. He soaks a towel and starts to wrap it around his head. Now Helm's scanner goes completely red.
Shit!
What?
I lost him.
We'll find him!
Yeah, right.
Come on, hurry up. You look beautiful.
Quaid feels his wet towel turban.
Now go to the window. Go.
On the street below, the caller looks up at him.
Can you see me down here?
Mm-hmm.
This is the suitcase you gave me.
I gave you?
I'm going to set it here. You tell me get it, keep moving.
Wait.
What?
Who are you?
We were buddies in the agency back on Mars. You asked me if you disappeared to come and find you, so here I am. Goodbye.
What was I doing on Mars?
Downstairs, a woman in a threadbare coat picks up the silver suitcase.
Excuse me, ma'am. This is mine.
I don't see your name on it.
Someone left it for me.
Go find your own bag.
Excuse me, ma'am, but I need it.
He yanks it away.
Fuck you, you asshole!
Quaid turns in mid-run and bows politely with his hand on his chest. In the car, Helm fiddles with a scanner.
Son of a bitch gotta be around here somewhere.
Richter searches the street, his dark eyes glittering.
That guy there.
They skid to a stop in front of Quaid. He glances in the window, sees Helm, sprints away, and jumps into a cab.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cab. Where can I take you tonight?
Drive!
Would you please repeat the destination?
Oh, anywhere, just go! Go!
Please state a street and number.
Shit!
I'm not familiar with that address.
Quaid rips the dummy driver off his pedestal and slams the control stick forward. Richter and Helm chase him on foot.
Please fasten your seatbelt.
Pedestrians dive out of the way as Richter and Helm open fire at the cab, which spins in wild circles. Leaning on the control stick, Quaid ducks as the front windshield shatters. The cab spins around and races across a rain-slick cobblestone plaza. Chest heaving, Richter lowers his gun and watches the cab disappear. Later, Quaid pulls into an abandoned factory.
The fare is 18 credits, please.
Sue me, dickhead.
The driver short circuits. The cab lurches forward. It hits a wall and explodes.
We hope you enjoyed the ride.
Quaid ducks away from the blaze and retreats deeper into the factory. Still carrying the silver suitcase, he charges up a set of crumbling, rickety metal stairs. At the top, he yanks a gun from his jacket pocket and squints into a dark, cavernous storeroom. He strides toward a large cement block littered with empty cans and milling rats. Quaid snaps open the suitcase. He pulls out several packs of red paper money and a stack of identification cards with his photograph. The top card reads, Pyramid Mines. Wearing a puzzled frown, he holds up a gun-shaped metal instrument with slender foot-long rods for a barrel. He puts it down, then picks up a bulky wristwatch-like device and presses a button. Suddenly, he spots a shadowy figure standing 30 feet away and grabs his gun. Squinting into the darkness, he takes a cautious step forward and stares at a mirror image of himself, copying his every move. The hologram flickers. Quaid grins and hits the button. His double disappears. He returns to the suitcase and drags out a slim metal briefcase. A video image of himself, minus the turban, appears on its screen. Quaid sets it down on the concrete block.
Howdy, stranger. This is Hauser. If things have gone wrong, I'm talking to myself, and you've got a wet towel wrapped around your head. Now, whatever your name is, get ready for the big surprise. You are not you. You're me. No shit.
Now in Richter's car.
Six-grader nine, come in.
Did you find him?
We picked up an explosion at the old cement factory.
He grins at Helm.
Send two units, we'll meet you there.
Roger.
At the factory, Quaid sits eating a thick chocolate bar.
All my life I worked for Mars Intelligence. I did Cohagen's dirty work. But a few weeks ago I met somebody, a woman, and I learned a few things, like I've been playing for the wrong team. All I can do now is try to make up for it.
Hauser taps his head.
See, there's enough shit in here to fuck Cohagen good. Now, unfortunately, if you're listening to this, that means that he has got to me first. And here comes the hard part, old buddy. Now it is all up to you.
Great.
Quaid tosses a hunk of chocolate to the rats. Now Richter and his men pull up to the flaming Johnny Cab. Their car doors spring up to open like insects spreading their wings.
What do we got?
Nothing here. He's gone.
I got a weak signal over there.
Split up. Find him.
First, let's get rid of the bug in your head. Take this thing out of the case and stick it up your nose.
Don't worry, it's self-guiding.
Quaid picks up the gun with the metal rods. A thin wire claw slides out of its barrel.
Just shove real hard.
Taking a deep breath, Quaid places the pronged end up one nostril.
When you hear the crunch, you're there. Just pull it out. Be careful. It's my head, too.
Grimacing in agony, Quaid yanks the gun downward. A glowing red light shines through the skin of his nose. A plastic ball the size of a walnut shell pops out of his nostril. The white plastic casing falls away, revealing a bloody silver capsule. Now Helm studies his scanner.
I get a lock.
Let's go. Now this is the plan. Get your ass to Mars. Then go to the Hilton and flash that Brubaker idea at the desk. That's all there is to it. Just do what I tell you, and we can nail that son of a bitch who fucked you and me. I'm counting on you, buddy. Don't let me down.
Quaid frowns and absently pulls the turban off his head. Suddenly, Richter and his men appear on a catwalk 50 yards away. Quaid leaps to his feet, sweeps the paraphernalia back into the suitcase, then pounds on the video screen. He stuffs the metal bug into a candy bar and tosses it to a pair of black rats who squabble over it. Following Helm's tracking scanner, Richter's men take cover behind a wall and aim their guns into the storehouse. The red dot moves on Helm's scanner.
There!
A rat picks up the chocolate bar and runs.
There! There!
Bullets bounce off the video screen where Hauser's face flickers.
Give me that!
Richter grabs a flashlight and shines it on the rat who's eaten the candy. The rat's goopy carcass splatters on the screen.
Get your ass to Mars. Get your ass to Mars. Get your ass to Mars.
Now in outer space. A metal ship with a flat electric razor-shaped head and two squat, blockish wings brushes overhead. It obscures our view of two crater-filled moons. Suspended in a blood-red sky over a rugged, barren landscape, it floats down toward a lit-up landing pad. Later, inside the crowded spaceport, workers stamp the visas of disembarking passengers. The stamp reads, Mars Immigration Admitted.
Welcome to the Mars Federal Colony. For your safety and comfort, domes have been installed to protect you from the vacuum outside. Please do not touch exterior windows or airlocks. And since the air volume is limited, no smoking is allowed anywhere in the colony.
A massive auburn-haired woman with a silver suitcase.
Passport?
She hands the young immigration worker her passport. He studies the photograph, then narrows his eyes at her skeptically. Her bulging cheeks spread in a grin.
Come
on, get out of the way.
Make way! Stand back!
Her cheeky smile fades as three armed soldiers stride through the crowd toward Richter and Helm.
Mr. Cohagen wants to see you. Right away.
Any news of Quaid?
Not since you lost him.
Watch your mouth, Captain.
We've got a car to take.
So how long do you plan to stay on Mars?
2 weeks.
Look at that shit.
Graffiti. Quato lives.
What the hell's this?
The Martians love Quato. They think he's fucking George Washington.
Kill the bastard.
Nobody knows who he is.
Have you brought any fruits or vegetables onto the planet?
2 weeks.
Excuse me?
2 weeks. 2 weeks!
The woman backs away. Her fleshy face shudders in uncontrolled contortions.
It's not just graffiti.
Richter frowns over his shoulder.
The refinery last night.
L-tribinium is going out, and it gets worse.
Richter turns at a metal door and steps back into the room. The woman's eyes bulge wildly. She tugs and pulls at her rubbery lips. A crowd gathers around as spasms rack her wide body. Richter narrows his dark, glittering eyes.
Quaid.
That's Quaid.
Where?
The woman. Get him. Her.
Arrest that woman!
A dozen soldiers in black uniforms with bulletproof vests gather around her, their guns drawn. Richter shoves through the crowd and stares. Tongue stuck out, the woman pushes her ear. It slides out of her head on a glowing red tube. Richter gapes as the woman's hair slips off. Her head splits open and her face pulls apart in sections like a deck of cards, revealing Quaid underneath. As the head reassembles, he lifts it off and grins.
Catch!
The head smiles at a soldier.
Get ready for a surprise!
The head explodes, throwing everyone to the ground. Quaid ducks as Richter aims his gun. He misses Quaid and shoots out a window in the protective dome. Bodies, papers, and luggage fly through the air in the sudden vacuum. Quaid grabs a metal railing and hangs on as the gust pulls him off his feet. Richter and Helm hang onto a cubicle as everything loose gets sucked out into the glowing red Mars atmosphere. A soldier clings desperately to a railing. His black leather gloves start to slip. Another soldier flies through the air and somersaults out the window. Quaid, his mouth gaping in a painful grimace, struggles to hold on. The immigration worker gropes for the control panel and slams a red button. All around the room, heavy metal doors start to close. Everyone collapses to the floor. Quaid leaps toward a closing door and rolls under just as it drops behind him.
Open the goddamn door!
I can't!
Open it!
They're all connected!
Richter and the captain stand nose to nose, glaring at each other. Now an aerial view of a train heading for a tunnel. Inside.
That's terrible.
And a few days ago, Cohagen raised the price of air.
Again?
Nobody on Earth gives a damn what happens up here.
Quaid glances out at a craggy mountain.
Excuse me, what's that?
You mean the pyramid mine? I used to work there till I found that alien shit inside.
Well, that's a rumor, isn't it?
I think so.
The husky bearded miner sneers and turns away. Quaid, wearing a dull plaid shirt, stands at the window as the silver train hurtles through a rocky gully. Our view trails up and over the jagged cliffs rising on either side of the tracks. The horizon glows a rich, bright crimson above the bleak landscape, which is sprinkled with glittering lights from a few scattered buildings. Now Richter strides into an office past four armed soldiers.
Mr. Cohagen.
Without turning, a tight-faced, silver-haired man stares pensively out a wall of windows at the landscape of Mars.
You wanted to see me, sir?
He swivels around in his chair.
Richter, do you know why I'm such a happy person?
No, sir.
Because I've got the greatest job in the solar system. As long as the turbinium keeps flowing, I can do anything I want. Anything. In fact, the only thing I ever worry about is that one day, if the rebels win, it all might end.
And you're fucking making it happen! First you try and kill Quaid, and then you let him get away!
He had help from our side, sir.
I know that.
Richter's eyes shift.
But I thought...
Who told you to think? I don't give you enough information to think! You do what you're told. That's what you do.
Yes, sir.
Cohagen throws a pinch of food into a goldfish tank.
Let's get down to business. We've got a tricky situation here. Quato wants what's in Quaid's head. And he might be able to get it, because they say he's psychic. And I have a plan to keep this from happening.
They sit on opposite ends of a long conference table.
Do you think you could play along?
Yes, sir.
Great.
Because otherwise I'll erase your ass.
Richter's smug grin fades. Now, jostled by a crowd of commuters, Quaid steps off the train. He slings his jacket over one shoulder and walks across a gritty, industrial-looking plaza lined with rock walls and heavy pipes. A scruffy young man approaches.
Taxi? You need a taxi, sir? I got magazines, I got music, I got whiskey. Hey,
man, you need a cab, man?
Come on.
Quaid ignores the hustling cabbies and walks past a sign that reads Hilton. Inside the hotel, guests dine at small, round tables. The pyramid mines loom in the background through a sheer wall of windows. Quaid puts on his jacket and smooths his hair as he strides through the lobby of well-dressed guests. He hesitates, then steps up to the registration desk.
Good afternoon. Can I help you?
Yes, I would like to have a room, please.
He holds out an ID to the clerk, who slides it into a computer and reads the screen.
Nice to have you back with us, Mr. Brubaker. Would you like the same suite?
Oh, definitely.
Seems you've left something in our safe.
Could you get it, please?
The clerk places his thumb on a button marked Identiguard.
Identification?
Flustered, Quaid places his thumb on an opposite button. With a suspicious stare, the clerk retrieves a metal box that pops out of the wall.
I'll go and code your room key.
Thank you.
Quaid opens the lid and tilts the box toward him. A wad of papers slides out. He unfolds a flyer which reads, Sex, the Last Resort, over a drawing of a naked woman. A message is scribbled in black on the other side. For a good time, ask for Melina.
There you go, Mr. Brubaker, suite 610 in the East Wing.
Thank you. Could I borrow your pen, please?
Sir.
Quaid takes the black marker and writes Melina under the message. His handwriting matches it exactly. He purses his lips with a small, puzzled shake of his head.
Thank you.
The clerk eyes Quaid dubiously as he walks away. Outside, a cabbie intercepts him.
Hey, man, you need a cab?
Well, what's wrong with this one?
He ain't got five kids to feed.
Where's yours?
Right over there, man.
Hey, man, that's my fare.
Hey, asshole, that's my fare. Eat this.
Damn you, Vinny.
They duck as an explosion rips through the plaza. Bodies fly through the air.
Welcome to Mars, man.
Soldiers and civilians open fire at each other.
What the hell was that? An accident?
That's the rebels, man. Let's get out of here before they arrest us.
Well, what did the rebels want?
All the usual. More money, more freedom, more air.
The cab lurches forward, splitting the crowd in two.
So, where to?
Last resort.
You're getting off to an early start. First time on Mars?
Yes. Well, actually, no. Well, sort of.
Damn, the man don't even know he's been to Mars tonight.
Hurtling through dusty, narrow tunnels, the cab swerves past a massive tank-like machine with huge studded drills. Quaid cranes his neck for a better look.
Voila! Venusville! Hey, you see anything you like?
Prostitutes crowd a bright alley. A sign reads, Sleaze Bar.
Well, this is the end of the line. We better walk from here.
A man with a disfigured face.
Do you want to know the future?
What about the past?
Hey, come on, it's around the corner.
Benny, a young black man with silver-capped teeth and mismatched clothes, points to a woman's profile.
Want to feel good?
Not bad, huh?
The other side of her face is rippled red.
Read your palm, your mind,
your aura,
probe the secrets of your heart.
I bet I can guess your birthday.
What is it?
You're a Taurus, right?
How did you guess?
Quaid caresses the little girl's deformed cheek.
Tell me something, now, old psychics.
Freaks? Afraid so, man. It goes with the territory.
What happened to them?
Cheap domes and nowhere to clean out the rays. So, this is it. The last resort. You sure you want to go in here, man?
Why not?
I know this much better place down the street. The girls are cleaner. The liquor ain't watered down.
Sure, and you get kickbacks.
Hey, man, I got five kids to feed.
Take him to the dentist.
Quaid pays up.
Thanks, mister. Listen, I'll be waiting here for you. You just take your time. Benny's the name. Benny!
Quaid pauses in the doorway and scans the crowded club. Skimpily dressed women hang out with the male customers who grope them hungrily. A dancer gyrates to the music on a balcony. Quaid pushes his way to the bar.
What do you want?
I'm looking for Melina.
Well, she's busy. But Mary here, she's free.
Well, not free, honey, but available.
Mary pulls open her blouse and shows him three breasts.
Thanks. I'll wait for Melina.
Earth slime.
Thing is, friend, Mel's real picky. She kind of sticks to her regulars.
She'll like me.
He hands him a roll of cash.
Mel! Hey, Mel!
At a table across the room, a young woman with long, curly dark hair and a strong jaw turns to face us. Her smile fades. Quaid stares as he recognizes her as the girl from his dream and from the recall profile. She casts an uncertain glance at a rugged, unshaven man at her table. He responds with a slight nod. A shorter man at the table frowns. His face is half covered with a clamshell of wrinkled, pulpy flesh. Melina, wearing a black tunic draped loosely over a lacy yellow camisole, stands up and struts toward Quaid. Their eyes lock.
Hello, Hauser. Still bulging, I see.
She grabs his crotch.
What you been feeding this thing?
Blondes.
I think it's still hungry.
The disfigured man strides toward them.
You got a lot of nerve showing your face around here, Hauser.
Look who's talking.
Hey, Tony, give the big guy a break.
Relax, you'll live longer.
Come on.
The unshaven man leads Tony back to their table while Quaid follows Melina upstairs.
Honey, take care of Tony, will you?
No problem. If you need any help with this one, give me a holler.
Her friend, a blonde dwarf prostitute in a pink bustier and black lace stocking, swaggers away. Now, Melina shows Quaid into a room with metal grates for walls and closes the door behind them.
You son of a bitch. You're alive. I thought that Cohagen tortured you to death.
I guess he didn't.
And you couldn't get me a message? You never even wondered what happened to me?
Quaid shakes his head in confusion. Melina throws her arms around him.
How's it, thank God you're alive?
Melina.
Hmm?
Melina, I can tell you something.
What?
I don't remember you.
What are you talking about?
I don't remember you. I don't remember us. I don't even remember me.
What, did you get amnesia? How did you get here?
Hauser left me a note.
Hauser, you're Hauser.
Not anymore. Now I'm Quaid. Douglas Quaid.
Hauser, you've lost your mind.
I didn't lose my mind. Cohagen stole it. He found out that Hauser switched sides, so he turned him into somebody else. Me.
This is too weird.
And he dumped me on Earth with a wife and a lousy job.
Did you say wife? Are you fucking married?
And she wasn't really my wife.
Oh, she isn't really your wife. How stupid of me. She was Hauser's wife?
Look, forget that I said
no,
wife.
No, let's just forget everything. I'm sick of you and your goddamn lies.
Why would I lie to you?
Because you're still working for Cohagen.
Don't be ridiculous.
She gazes at him with dark, troubled eyes.
You never loved me, Hauser. You just used me to get inside.
Inside what?
She stares at him uncertainly, then strides to the door.
I think you better leave.
Melina, Hauser sent me to do something.
I'm not falling for it.
He says there's enough in here to nail Cohagen for good.
Get out.
You got to help me remember.
I said get out.
Melina, please. People are trying to kill me.
Really?
She aims a gun at his head.
All right. I'm leaving.
Melina slides the door between them, then leans back against it with a frustrated sigh. At the bar, Benny fondles Mary's three breasts.
Baby, you make me wish I had three hands.
Well, I think you're doing just fine with two.
Excuse me, baby. We'll pick this up later. Hey, that didn't take long. Listen, let me ask you a question. You ever fuck a mutant?
Take me to the hotel.
I know these Siamese twins, man. You won't know it's coming or going.
Benny follows Quaid out of the bar. George, the unshaven man, watches them go, then looks upstairs at Melina. Later, in his hotel room, Quaid watches Cohagen on TV.
This afternoon at 4:30 p.m., I signed an order declaring martial law throughout the Mars Federal Colony.
I will not tolerate any further damage to our mineral export operations. Mr. Quateau and his terrorists must understand that their self-defeating efforts will only bring misery and suffering to the people.
He shuts it off and sighs.
Mr. Quaid?
What?
I need to talk to you about Mr. Hauser.
He cocks his pistol.
Who are you?
Dr. Edgemar from Recall.
How did you find me?
It's a little difficult to explain. Could you open the door? I'm unarmed.
A pudgy, balding man with glasses.
Don't worry, I'm alone. May I come in?
Quaid yanks him inside and frisks him.
What do you want?
Well, this is going to be very difficult for you to accept, Mr. Quaid.
I'm listening.
I'm afraid you're not really standing here right now.
You know, Doug, you could have fooled me.
I'm quite serious. You're not here, and neither am I.
That's amazing. Where are we?
At Recall. You're strapped into an implant chair, and I'm monitoring you from the psychoprobe console.
Ah, I get it. I'm dreaming. And all this is part of the delightful vacation your company has sold me. Right?
Not exactly. What you're experiencing is a freeform delusion based on our memory tapes. But you're inventing it yourself as you go along.
What if it is my delusion? Who the hell invited you?
I've been artificially implanted as an emergency measure. I'm sorry to tell you this, Mr. Quaid, but you've suffered a schizoid embolism. We can't snap you out of your fantasy. And I've been sent in to try to talk you down.
How much is Cohagen paying you for this?
Think about it. Your dream started in the middle of the implant procedure. Everything after that, the chases, the trip to Mars, the suite at the Hilton, are all elements of your recall holiday and ego trip. You paid to be a secret agent.
Bullshit. It's coincidence.
And what about the girl? Brunette, athletic, sleazy, and demure? Just as you specified. Is that coincidence?
She's real. I dreamt about it before everyone went to recall.
Mr. Quaid, can you hear yourself? She's real because you dreamed her.
That's right.
Well, maybe this will convince you. Would you mind opening the door?
Quaid puts his gun under Edgemar's chin.
You open it.
No need to be rude. I'll do it.
Calmly, he walks to the door and opens it. Laurie stands in the hallway wearing a gray pantsuit.
Sweetheart?
Come in, Mrs. Quaid.
She walks toward Quaid, her adoring gaze fixed on his face.
Well, I suppose you're not here either.
I'm here. At Recall.
She steps closer. Quaid's cynical smile falters.
I love you.
Right. That's why he tried to kill me.
No. I'd never do anything to hurt you. I want you to come back to me.
Bullshit.
What's bullshit, Mr. Quaid? That you're having a paranoid episode triggered by acute neurochemical trauma? Or that you're really an invincible secret agent from Mars who's the victim of an interplanetary conspiracy to make him think he's a lowly construction worker?
Quaid shoots a narrow-eyed glance between Edgemar and his wife. Laurie smiles sweetly and nods.
Stop punishing yourself, Doug. You're a fine, upstanding man. You have a beautiful wife that loves you. Your whole life is ahead of you. But you've got to want to return to reality.
Let's assume I do. Then what?
Swallow this.
A red pill.
What is it?
It's a symbol of your desire to return to reality. Inside your dream, you'll fall asleep.
Quaid takes the capsule from Edgemar.
All right. Let's say you're telling the truth and this is all a dream. Then I could pull this trigger and it won't matter.
Doug, don't.
It won't make the slightest difference to me, Doug. But the consequences to you would be devastating. In your mind, I'll be dead, and with no one to guide you out, you'll be stuck in permanent psychosis.
Doug, let Dr. Edgemar help you.
The walls of reality will come crashing down. One minute, you'll be the savior of the rebel cause, and the next thing you know, you'll be Cohagen's bosom buddy. You'll even have fantasies about alien civilizations, as you requested, but in the end, back on Earth, you'll be lobotomized. So get a grip on yourself, Doug, and put down that gun.
Quaid holds the gun against Edgemar's temple, then frowns and slowly lowers it.
Good. Now take the pill and put it in your mouth.
Quaid glances at Laurie, then takes the pill.
swallow it.
Go ahead, sweetheart.
He looks at Lori, then at the ground. Edgemar scowls at him tensely. Quaid looks up at Edgemar and notices a bead of sweat trickling down the doctor's cheek. He raises his pistol. A bullet hole punches Edgemar's forehead and blood spatters the wall behind him. Edgemar drops. Quaid spits the pill onto his body.
Now you've done it. Now you've done it!
The wall behind them blows apart. Four men rush in. Quaid flips one through the air and kicks another in the chest as the two others grab him. He breaks free. Then an attacker kicks him in the stomach. Quaid grabs his leg. Another man cracks him in the head with his gun. Quaid drops to his knees. Lori smiles, then kicks him in the face.
That's for making me come to Mars.
She stomps his crotch.
You know how much I hate this fucking planet. Cuff him.
She steps past his motionless body. Now in a bar with Richter, Lori's face appears on a telephone screen.
I got him.
Good. Bring him down in the service elevator.
Lori puckers suggestively.
Let's go.
On the hotel's sixth floor, two men drag the unconscious, handcuffed Quaid through the hallway. Lori follows. They round a corner and stop at a gleaming metal elevator door. One of the men presses a button. He steps back and waits. Downstairs, Helm and Richter run into a back room and stop at an elevator. A monitor counts the floors. 3, 4, 5. On the sixth floor, the elevator doors open. Melina stands inside, holding a machine gun. Lori ducks around the corner. The four men around Quaid are leveled in a chest-ripping stream of bullets. Melina charges out of the elevator. Lori lunges out from around the corner, kicks her gun into the air, double-kicks her face and stomach, then throws her down. Melina cushions her fall with a somersault and stands. She punches Lori in the face, spins, and kicks her in the gut. Lori blocks another punch and elbows Melina in the kidneys. Quaid looks up with a dazed frown and watches Lori knock Melina against a wall, then flip her onto the floor.
Fuck you!
She kicks Melina in the gut, yanks her head back, then draws a knife from her ankle. Quaid snatches a gun and shoots the knife from Lori's hand.
Doug. Honey. You wouldn't hurt me. Would you, sweetheart?
She reaches for a gun.
Sweetheart. Be reasonable. After all, we're married.
Quaid shoots her in the head.
Consider that a divorce.
Melina looks up.
That was your wife?
He nods. Melina pushes Lori's body off her.
What a bitch.
Downstairs, the elevator monitor flashes 6. Richter and Helm draw their guns and race through the lobby to the main elevators.
Hey, get out of the way!
Upstairs, Quaid and Melina rummage through the dead men's pockets.
I thought he didn't like me.
Cohagen wants you dead. You might be okay. Got it.
So you come back to apologize.
Kawada wants to see you.
She unlocks Quaid's handcuffs.
Come on.
They run down the hall. The elevator opens. Richter and Helm lunge into the hallway and stop short upon seeing the 5 corpses. Helm takes off down the hall as Richter spots Lori's body. He kneels down and cradles her head in his hand. As he strokes her cheek, his scarred face curls into a determined scowl. Now, Quaid and Melina race around a corner and come to a dead-end balcony overlooking the enormous protective glass dome.
Now what?
Jump!
In slow motion, they leap off the balcony and grab hold of a metal pipe in the framework. They drop onto a catwalk a few feet from the dome. Back in the hallway, Helm rounds the corner and aims his pistol at Quaid. Bathed in the glowing red light from outside, Quaid freezes, then follows Melina down a ladder. Helm pulls back as they descend. Now Richter, his dark eyes glaring straight ahead, rounds the corner and raises his gun.
No! Don't do it! Crack the fucking door!
Helm hits his gun. Richter aims at his neck.
What are you gonna do, Gillis? The dome will crack!
Richter's eyes flick between Helm and the dome. Then he scowls and runs back down the hallway. Helm takes off after him. Below, Quaid and Melina race down a flight of stairs to the busy colony streets.
Taxi! Melina! Melina!
Benny's taxi pulls up. They jump in.
Need a ride?
Last resort, quick!
You guys are going in circles!
Richter and Helm race out of the hotel. The taxi's rear window shatters.
Jesus!
Come on, you drive!
You guys are in trouble!
Go! Go!
Richter and Helm jump into a car and take off, slamming into a man walking across the street. Richter smashes the side window and leans out with his gun.
What are you trying to do to me, man?
Shut up and drive!
Hey, I got 5 kids to feed!
Quaid and Melina shoot back. Bullet holes rip into Helm's windshield. The cars race through a maze of tunnels. Benny gapes as a tank-sized drilling machine rolls into their path. Benny swerves around the driller's spinning nose and side grinders. Helm scrapes his car against the wall and just brushes past the driller. In a shower of sparks, Quaid shoots Richter's gun from his hand. Richter reaches into the car and pulls out a shotgun-sized heavy cannon. He blows out Benny's lights and taxi sign, then his windshield. They drive straight through a store. Helm crashes into the storefront.
What the hell are you doing?
Benny's taxi crashes through a storage room and comes to a stop. On the street, Richter and Helm race inside as Quaid, Melina, and Benny run out the back door.
What?
Oh, Christ! Now they're after me!
Back on the street, Richter grabs an officer's machine gun and races around a corner. Melina sprints down the street, leading Quaid and Benny into the last resort. The deformed man opens a secret door in a metal wall as the three fugitives push their way through the crowd of customers.
Come on!
Melina climbs through the doorway and grabs a flashlight.
Thank you, Tony.
Quaid follows Melina down a dark tunnel. Benny rushes in after them. Then Tony closes the door. Three scantily clad women shove a table and chairs against the wall and sit down. Richter and Helm burst into the club and glance around. A half-dozen uniformed soldiers block the doorway. Mary walks down a staircase, smiles at Richter, and flashes her 3 breasts.
Hey, you wanna have some fun?
Where are they?
What are you talking about? I don't know.
She turns her back. Helm and the other soldiers point their guns at the crowd. Richter turns to the dwarf prostitute.
Maybe you know.
He points his gun at her face. Tony kicks it away. Helm blasts Tony in the shoulder. Then someone jumps on Helm.
Kill them all!
A woman in a red dress keels over. Blood spurts from her chest. Richter knees a man in the face. The dwarf prostitute pulls a knife and lunges at Helm's stomach. The bartender pulls out a shotgun and blows an officer away. Thumbelina leaves Helm's bloodied body, climbs onto the bar, and grabs a machine gun. Bullets rip into 2 soldiers. Across the room, Tony shoots as Richter dives through a plate glass window. Richter rolls into the street. A steel-encased van arrives with more soldiers. They surround the front of the club as Richter scrambles toward the van.
Richter! A call for Cohagen!
Richter here, we've got them pinned down.
Stop fighting and pull out.
But they've got Quaid, they're protecting him.
Perfect. Get out of Sector G, now. Don't think. Do it.
Yes, sir.
Pull them out!
Everybody! Pull them out! Move!
Now in a tunnel, Melina, Quaid, and Benny race along. Metal doors close off 2 escape routes.
Cohagen's sealing up the area!
Come on, Benny!
They duck under a massive door as it lowers to the ground. In the streets of Venusville, Richter and the soldiers leave through a huge tunnel. A foot-thick door closes behind them, sealing off the area. A giant circulation fan spins to a halt. Tony, Thumbelina, and others in the last resort gaze across the street at the slowing fan. Down the street, the psychic mutant child walks up to another fan. Her face, half swollen and red with one bloodshot eye, stares quietly. Others in the street join her at the motionless ventilator shaft. Her mother, with a twisting cord of skin running from her neck to her mangled ear, looks grimly down at her. Now, in a dark tunnel, flashlight beams reveal human skeletons in carved-out tombs.
The first settlers are buried here. They worked themselves to death, but Cohagen ended up with all the money. He built cheap domes and watched the kids turn into freaks.
I saw them.
And if you want to breathe, you have to buy his air.
Maybe you can change all that.
Hey, I think my grandpa might be here.
So what can I do?
Quado's gonna make you remember some things you knew when you were Hauser.
Like what?
All sorts of things. Like maybe you'll remember that you loved me.
I don't need Quado for that.
Since when?
Her dark eyes search Quade's rugged face. Their gaze draws them together into a warm kiss. A skeleton behind Quade's head slides up and a gun pokes out.
Freeze! Come on, Melina.
Quato's waiting.
Hey, I didn't find Grandpa, but...
A rebel patrol surrounds Benny.
Oh, shit.
Who's this?
He helped us get away.
Hey, don't worry about me, man. I'm on your side.
He pulls off a false left hand and rolls back his sleeve. His real hand unfolds, 2-foot-long fingers flanked by 2 shriveled ones.
You're a mutant, huh? All right, let's go.
Benny replaces his gloved mechanical hand. The rebel lieutenant leads them to a hinged rock door at the back of the tombs. Melina and Quade enter the rebel headquarters, a large, busy chamber filled with desks and monitors. The lieutenant puts a hand on Benny's shoulder.
Have you tried ramming down the door?
You wait here. Follow me.
You won't do any good.
Tony on a phone screen.
Cohagen pressurized the tunnels.
Then drill through to Section M.
We can't. We're running out of air. We need help.
Okay, sit tight. Melina just got here with Quade.
I hope it was worth it.
So do I.
George stands up.
I'm glad you made it.
You don't look so glad.
Cohagen sealed up Venusville. He shut off the air. You must know something pretty damn important, Quade. He wants you. If we don't hand you over, everybody in the sector will be dead by morning.
Well, then we don't have much choice, do we?
We can't turn him in.
That's up to Quado. Come with me, Quade.
George leads Quade across the chamber to a steel door. From across the chamber, Benny watches them enter. George locks the door.
Sit down.
Where's Quado?
On his way. You heard the rumors about the pyramid mine.
Yeah.
Cohagen found something weird inside, and it's got him scared shitless.
What? Aliens?
You tell me.
I don't know.
Yes, you do. That's why we brought you here. Cohagen's big secret is buried in that black hole you call a brain. And Quado's gonna dig it out.
You're Quado, right?
Wrong. Quado's a mutant. So don't get upset when you see him.
George rounds his desk, crosses the small room, and stands at the far wall. He winces and pulls open his vest and shirt. His face strains and twitches. Quade frowns and leans forward in his chair. Our view glides down the rebel leader's back as he holds open his vest. A small, wrinkled hand stretches out from his stomach. Quade's eyes flash wide. George, in a daze, turns toward him. A wet, baby-sized head crowned with long, thin hair sticks out of his swollen stomach, along with 2 shriveled arms.
What do you want, Mr. Quay? Same as you, to remember.
But why?
To be myself again.
You are what you do.
George staggers forward.
A man is defined by his action, not his memory.
Leave. Take my hand.
Quade takes Quado's hands. A jolt runs through Quado and George.
Now open your mind to me, please. Open your mind. Open your mind.
Quade stares deeply into Quado's milky eyes and deformed pupils.
open your mind. Open your mind.
Our view closes in on Quaid's forehead, then dissolves to a huge cavern. We glide through rows of enormous rectangular columns hanging from the cavern's ceiling, then dip down toward a bridge far below.
Or it might be some kind of machine to make it like...
We soar past the bridge down to the gray-white cavern floor dotted with machinery and lights, then tilt up toward the building-sized columns. Richter, Cohagen, and a group of scientists walk across the bridge into the base of one of the columns.
He says blow the thing up before the rebels turn it on.
I say we throw the switch and see what happens.
Don't be an idiot.
We can't risk it. The chain reaction could spread to all the turbidium of the planet. That means meltdown.
A meltdown on a planetary scale.
Don't you think whoever built this thing thought of that?
Who knows what the hell they thought? They weren't human.
Maybe it's a trap. Maybe they want a meltdown.
We don't even know if this piece of junk will work. What is it? A million? Half a million?
About half a million.
Half a million years old. Well, let's make sure.
They walk through rows of cylindrical metal pillars. Our view rises up the pillars into a small chamber hundreds of feet high. In the center of a round table, we close in on a silver globe with a deep imprint of a four-fingered alien hand. The globe dissolves to the mangled pupil of Kuato's eye. Quaid blinks awake as dirt falls on him from the ceiling. He jumps up and shakes George's shoulders.
Wake up! Wake up! Come on! Wake up!
A driller breaks through a wall.
They found us! Shit! Let's go!
As the armored driller backs out, Quaid and George race into the main headquarters. George pulls his shirt closed.
They found us! Everybody out!
Get in now!
Get moving! Get out!
Another driller bursts through a wall. Soldiers swarm in. The rebels return fire. Then another driller bursts through the opposite wall. Benny gapes wildly and staggers backward. A fourth driller plows through. Quaid riddles two soldiers with bullets as he and Melina follow George into a narrow passageway.
Get to the airlock! Follow me!
Benny, come on!
Benny grabs a machine gun and races for the passageway.
Benny!
I'm coming!
Soldiers flood into the room, machine guns blazing. The spray of bullets rips a bloody path into the backs of two rebels. The soldiers cut through the room, leveling everyone in their path. In the passageway, George leads Quaid, Melina, and Benny into a metal-lined room.
Put these spacesuits on! We're going outside!
Quaid seals the door and grabs a suit.
Benny, hurry!
Benny draws his gun. George drops to the floor.
Congratulations, Quaid. You led us right to him.
How can you do this? You're a mutant.
I got four kids to feed. So what happened to number five? Ah, shit, man. You got me. I ain't even married. Now put your fucking hands in the air.
Benny opens the airlock. Richter steps through. Kuato lifts his head.
Forget it, man. His fortune-telling days are over.
Quaid bends down.
Start the reactor. Freemar.
A bullet blows through Kuato's head. Richter lowers his gun.
Mr. Cohagen would like to talk to you.
He smiles. Quaid glares at him and clenches his jaw. Later, in his office, Cohagen uncovers George's body.
So this is the great man.
He opens George's blood-soaked shirt and looks at Kuato's tattered head.
No wonder he kept out of sight. Well, my boy.
He claps Quaid on the shoulders.
You're a hero.
Fuck you.
Huh? Don't be modest. Kuato is dead. The resistance has been completely wiped out, and you were the key to the whole thing.
He's lying.
Two-faced bastard.
You can't blame him, Angel. He's innocent. You see, Quaid, none of my people could get close to Kuato. Fucking mutants could always sniff us out. So Hauser and I sat down and invented you. the perfect mole.
You know you're lying. Hauser turned against you.
That's what we wanted you to think. The fact is, Hauser volunteered to become Doug Quaid. It was the only way to fool the psychics.
Oh, get your story straight. This idiot here has been trying to kill me ever since I went to recall. You don't kill somebody you're trying to plant.
He wasn't in on it. You set him off by going to recall.
So why am I still alive?
We gave you lots of help. Benny here.
My pleasure, man.
The guy with the suitcase, the mask, the money, the message from Hauser. All of that was set up by us.
Sorry. Too perfect.
Perfect my ass. You pop your memory cap before we can activate you? Richter goes hog wild, screwing up everything I spent a year planning. Frankly, I'm amazed it worked.
Well, Cohagen, I have to hand it to you. It's the best mindfuck yet.
Oh. Don't take my word for it. Someone you trust wants to talk to you.
Who is it this time? My mother?
Hauser appears on a screen.
Howdy, Quaid. If you're listening to this, that means that Quado is dead and you have led us to him. I knew you wouldn't let me down. Sorry for that shit I've put you through, but hey, what are friends for? I would like to wish you happiness and long life, old buddy, but unfortunately, this is not gonna happen. You see, it's my body I've got there, and I want it back. Sorry to be an Indian giver, but I was here first. So, adios, amigo. And thanks for not getting yourself killed. Hey, maybe we meet in our dreams.
On the screen, Hauser and Cohagen wave.
You never know.
Later, four men carry Quaid.
You bastards!
They bring him into a lab room with two memory implant chairs. A technician opens the ankle cuffs and spreads open a headrest with two temple clamps. The men lower Quaid into the chair, close the metal ankle and wrist cuffs, and lock them down with steel bolts.
Let go of me!
Melina is carried to the second chair as the head clamp snaps onto Quaid's temples. The technicians bolt Melina into the seat and lock her in the head clamp.
Ready to go, sir.
Cohagen and Richter watch.
Relax, Quaid. You'll like being Hauser.
Guy's a fucking asshole.
Not true. He's one of my best friends. Besides, he's got a big house and a Mercedes. And you like Melina, right? Well, you get to fuck her every night.
That's right.
She's gonna be Hauser's babe.
I'll bust his balls.
Princess. We're having you fixed. You're going to be respectful, compliant, and appreciative. The way a woman should be.
Cohagen wipes his face.
Mr. Cohagen, telephone.
Yes, what is it?
Sir, the oxygen level is bottoming out in Sector G. What do you want me to do about it?
Don't do anything.
But they won't last an hour, sir.
Fuck them. A good lesson to the others.
Come on, Cohagen, you got what you want. Give these people air.
My friend, in 5 minutes, you won't give a shit about the people. Fire it up, Doc.
Excuse me, Doctor. Is he going to remember any of this?
Not a thing.
Oh, really?
Richter belts his mouth. He shakes out his fist. Quaid shoots him a venomous glare.
Oh, Quaid. I'm having a party tonight. Why don't you and Melina drop by? Remind him, Doc? Oh,
sure.
See you at the party.
Richter leaves with Cohagen. The doctor switches on the machine, and Quaid's chair slides back toward a hollow chamber of blue lights. Red flashes from the bars at Quaid's temple. A technician turns on Melina's machine.
Keep still. Fighting just makes it hurt.
Quaid clenches his teeth. His body jitters. Melina tenses and grimaces. Quaid's bugging eyes glance down at his right arm. He tugs at his wrist cuff.
If you don't keep still, you'll end up psychotic.
He rips the arm of the chair off, along with a thick bolt.
Hey, don't!
stabs the bolt into the doctor's throat. Blood gushes. Quaid frees his left leg, then cracks a technician with his cuff.
Melina, hold on!
More technicians race over. Quaid grabs one and slams his head into the machine. He kicks the other in the face, then frees himself, grabs a metal bar from a man, and beats him in the head. A technician with an axe swings at Quaid's chest. Quaid blocks it with the bar, throws him against the machine, and jams the bar through the last technician's skull. He rushes to free Melina.
Are you all right? Are you still you?
I'm not sure, dear. What do you think?
She grabs the back of his neck and kisses him.
Let's get the hell out of here.
Quaid grabs the axe, and they rush to an elevator. He throws Melina the axe as two soldiers run out. Quaid belts one. Melina hacks the other in the stomach. They grab their machine guns and jump into the elevator. Now in his office, Cohagen looks out a plate glass window at a glowing red panorama of the rocky Mars surface. Richter walks in.
You have to make a decision, sir.
Cohagen's eyes drift to the floor. His jaw hardens and he turns around.
Kill him.
It's about goddamn time.
Richter cocks his gun and leaves. Cohagen's brow creases with regret. Then he stiffens and kicks over his tank of goldfish. The goldfish flip on the floor, their mouths sucking desperately for water. The scene changes to the last resort. Tony sits up, his good eye half closed, and lets out a slow breath. Thumbelina sits slouched over a table. Outside, men and women line the streets, sprawled unconscious on each other and the ground. On the wall, the huge ventilator fan is motionless. Now, Melina and Quaid run out of the elevator.
Where are you going?
To the reactor.
What reactor?
The one in the mines. Come on.
People are dying, Quaid. Stop. We've got to get air.
The reactor makes air. That's Cohagen's secret. Let's go.
Where's this reactor come from?
Aliens build it.
Aliens? Are you sure about this?
It's just up ahead.
They run into a dead end. They shine their flashlights on the rough-hewn stone wall. Floodlights turn on from a drilling machine behind them. Steam rushes from its engines. The nose and drill bits start to spin, and the driller rolls forward. Quaid and Melina open fire and back up toward the stone wall.
Quaid! Hey, Quaid! You remember me? Benny!
Benny sits enclosed in the driver's seat, watching Quaid and Melina on a monitor. Their bullets bounce off the spinning cone-shaped drills. Quaid picks up a drill the size of a jackhammer. Benny grins.
Ah! Oh, that's good!
Quaid sinks his drill bit into an arm-thick hose in the driller's front end.
I'm gonna drill you, sucker! I'm gonna drive you up!
The driller's spinning teeth rip into Quaid's arm. He keeps drilling into the hose.
I'm coming for you, baby!
Melina's arm rips open as Benny traps her against the wall. Quaid's drill bursts through the hose. Black oil sprays out. The nose of the driller crashes into the stone wall, then stops spinning, inches from Melina's back and Quaid's chest.
What the fuck is this?
Benny backs the driller up and flips a row of switches. Steam spews from the control panel.
Piece of horseshit junk! Hey, Quaid! I'm gonna squash you!
Benny!
Quaid bores into a side panel labeled Operator Only.
Where the fuck are you?
Benny glances around, then spots Quaid's drill bit coming in.
Oh, yeah!
He plunges the drill into Benny, then pulls it out, dripping with blood.
Quaid! Get over here!
What is it?
There's an opening.
I knew it.
They pick up their machine guns and crawl over the rubble of the wall. They come out underneath a mile-long bridge and gaze in wonder across a vast cavern. Overhead, enormous rectangular columns reach down from the ceiling in rows which spread endlessly into the distance. Lights along the bridge illuminate the frosty gray floor below.
This whole thing is one big reactor made out of terpenium. Cohagen knows it makes air. The bastard won't turn it on.
Of course not. If Mars had an atmosphere, he'd lose control.
They climb to the bridge.
See down there? It's a glacier. The whole core of Mars is ice. The reactor melted, and it releases the oxygen. Come on.
Enough for everyone to breathe?
Sure. Enough for the whole planet. If we turn it on in time.
They stride across the long bridge. At the other end of the bridge, Richter waits.
Come on!
A team of machine gun-toting soldiers weaves through rows of metal pillars which fill the inside of one of the building-sized columns. They work their way through the maze of pillars and position themselves just inside the portal to the bridge. Quaid and Molina stop a few feet from the entrance.
Hold on.
He straps on his hologram watch. Molina waits as Quaid unslings his machine gun and walks down a ramp, through the portal, and into the maze of broad metal pillars. Richter peers out from behind one of them. Quaid glances keenly around, his neck glistening with sweat and blood, then steps down an aisle teeming with hidden soldiers.
Now!
The soldiers surround him. Quaid's body jerks violently. Richter, grinning with delight, empties his gun into Quaid, who sinks to his knees. Quaid wobbles, still on his knees. Richter's smile dissolves. The soldiers gape as Quaid slowly gets to his feet. One officer looks questioningly at his rifle.
Son of a bitch.
Quaid points at Richter, then walks away. His image blurs. Then behind them, the real Quaid jumps out and opens fire. Soldiers' chests rip apart with bullets. Molina joins him as Richter runs for cover.
He's got a hologram!
Quaid runs down another row and blows away two approaching soldiers. Quaid and his hologram circle a pillar. Molina dodges behind another. One Quaid steps out and comes face to face with three soldiers.
Do you think this is the real Quaid? It is.
He mows them all down, then slips behind a pillar and hands the hologram watch to Molina. She dashes behind another pillar, then peers around its side. Sparks fly as she ducks back. Sneaking around the other side, she moves cautiously down the aisle, her edges shimmering slightly. Two soldiers jump out. Molina's image disappears and they kill each other in their crossfire. She tosses the watch to Quaid, who spins around a pillar, then ducks back as Richter fires. Richter runs away toward an open-sided platform elevator, jumps on and presses a button. As the elevator rises, Quaid dives on Richter and slams him into the back wall. Down below, Molina rushes toward the platform as it rises out of reach. Now Richter kicks Quaid in the chest and pounds him left and right in the kidneys. Quaid elbows Richter's stomach and flips him over his shoulder. Quaid picks him up, punches his stomach and face, then throws him off the platform. Richter grabs Quaid's hands. Quaid falls to the platform's floor with Richter hanging over the edge. Richter latches onto Quaid's shirt.
Yeah, you're coming with me!
The platform rises toward a rough-edged girder. Quaid pulls back, gripping Richter's hands. The girder slices off his arms. Richter plummets, waving bloody stumps.
See you at the party, Richter!
He throws Richter's bloody arms off the edge. The elevator continues climbing up its track, rising above the metal pillars to a vast open space. It stops at a catwalk near the ceiling of the cavern. Quaid steps onto the catwalk, then spots a room around a corner. The platform descends. Quaid walks into the room and smiles. He steps toward the round table with a silver globe in the center and reaches to put his hand on the alien imprint. Floodlights turn on. Cohagen steps out of the shadows.
Don't touch that! Get away! Get back!
What are you afraid of? Turn it on.
Impossible! Once the reaction starts, it'll spread to all the terbinium in the planet. Mars will go into global meltdown. That's why the aliens never turned it on.
And you expect me to believe you?
Who gives a shit what you believe? In 30 seconds, you'll be dead. And I'll blow this place up and be home in time for cornflakes.
He shoots the globe as Quaid reaches for it.
I didn't want it to end this way. I wanted Hauser back, but no. You had to be Quaid.
I am Quaid.
You're nothing. You're nobody. You're a stupid dream. Well, all dreams come to an end.
He points his gun at Quaid. Then bullets rip into his shoulder. Molina rides up the elevator and shoots Cohagen again. He falls and drops the bomb's remote control. Molina rushes for it, but Cohagen grabs it first and slams his thumb onto a button. Quaid grabs a small black box beside the table and throws it into a round shaft. A ball of fire rushes back out, and a wave of gas knocks them all to the ground. The fire changes directions. Hurricane-force winds suck the atmosphere out through the shaft. Molina and Cohagen grab edges of the table. Quaid slides toward the shaft and grabs a light cord. The light on a tall stand falls over. Its cord hooks around the globe in the center of the table. Quaid hangs horizontally in midair, gripping onto the light cord and pulling himself toward the table. Molina loses her grip, sails through the air, then catches one of the light stand's legs. She hangs on with one hand, pulls herself around, and grabs with the other. Cohagen slips off the far end of the table, then grabs the edge right next to Quaid.
Molina, hold on! No! Don't do it! We'll all die! Everybody will die! No! No!
Quaid yanks Cohagen's hands free. Cohagen flies into the shaft. Quaid pulls himself up the cord and grabs the edge of the table. Now, in the red Mars atmosphere, Cohagen shoots out of a hole in the side of a cliff, falls onto a slope, and tumbles down loose rock on a barren hillside. He grips his collar as his eyes and head swell. Inside, Quaid, straining, stretches his hand toward the globe. Closer, closer. Then his hand joins with a four-fingered imprint. Light beams shoot from the imprint, and the globe sinks into the table. We glimpse the enormous cavern's array of hanging columns, flashing with blue-green jolts. Outside, Cohagen's face and eyes bulge. In the cavern, the columns lower toward the glacial floor. Quaid loses his grip on the table and sails into the shaft. Molina reaches for him, then loses her grip. Now, the metal pillars inside the columns glow fiery orange and lower toward the floor. Outside, Cohagen's head swells like a melon, his eyes bloody balls. Above him, Quaid and then Molina fly out of the shaft and tumble down the gravel slope. Cohagen's eyes and tongue pop out of his head. In the cavern, the rows of red-hot pillars sink toward the glacier. Quaid and Molina grab their throats. The pillars ram into the ice. Steam erupts through the cracks. Quaid and Molina writhe in agony. The cavern fills with steam as more columns sink their red-hot pillars into the ice. Jets of steam and air erupt from the glacier. Outside, holes burst on the slopes of Pyramid Mountain, and the steam shoots out. Inside the protective dome, the Hilton's lobby and restaurant start to shake. Down in Venusville, the dying men and women stir to life and look up at a window. At the last resort, Tony holds onto the bar. On Pyramid Mountain, more holes burst through the rock and spew jets of rushing air. Quaid grabs his swelling throat. His eyes and head start to bulge. In the restaurant, customers and tables topple to the floor. Melina's throat and face inflate with pressure as the ground trembles beneath her. The scene changes to a faraway view of Pyramid Mountain. The peak explodes, and a rolling white vapor cloud rises into the sky. The cloud of white air tumbles down the mountain like an avalanche. It rolls over Quaid and Melina, knocking them flat. The cloud heads for the restaurant's glass windows like an oncoming tidal wave. Shattered glass rains on the customers. Outside, Quaid and Melina struggle in a fog. In Venusville, the rolling cloud surges toward the windows lining the street. The psychic shields her daughter and falls to the floor. The onrushing cloud blasts through the streets and into the last resort. Like a hurricane, it blows Tony and the bartender out of their seats. Thumbelina hangs onto the edge of a table as the gale rushes past. People and litter tumble through the streets. Outside, Pyramid Mountain shoots a mushroom cloud of white gas into the sky. Melina's swelling neck and head decrease. Quaid's freakishly bulging eyes shrink back into his head. The sky churns with a blanket of clouds. In the restaurant, wind flows past the groping customers. Lightning flashes from the clouds above Pyramid Mountain. Air drifts down the slopes and fills the sky. Quaid and Melina catch their breath. The blanket of dark clouds parts, revealing a patch of deep blue sky. In the last resort, Tony, Thumbelina, and others sit up and stare out the window in awe. In the crowded restaurant, people slowly rise to their feet and walk toward the windowless frame of the dome. A light breeze blows over them as they gaze at the mountain, erupting with steamy air like a volcano. On the mountain slope, Quaid props himself on his elbows, glances at the sky above, and smiles. Melina sits up, her mouth agape. They both stand and walk up a rocky bluff. In Venusville, Tony, the bartender, and Thumbelina lead a crowd out of the last resort. Restaurant customers walk up to the shattered wall to watch the passing clouds and sunny blue sky. Outside, Quaid and Melina reach the top of the ridge and gaze across a huge canyon. For miles across, bright sunbeams stream across a rocky plateau which stretches to the horizon. In Venusville, people climb onto the roofs of clubs and gather in front of the empty frame of the dome. Thumbelina smiles as she gazes into blue sky. A breeze tosses her blonde hair away from her face. Tony puts his arm around the psychic child, and they stare in wonder at their new world. They step out of the dome, and our view widens to reveal them standing on the lip of a cave in the middle of a brown cliff. Enclosed bridges and huge metal silos stretch across a gully as other people emerge. Melina turns to Quaid.
I can't believe it. It's like a dream. What's wrong?
I just had a terrible thought. What if this is a dream?
Well, then kiss me quick before you wake up.
He strokes her cheek, then they embrace in a kiss. Sunlight dazzles our view. The white screen cuts to black. This film has been described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH, Boston. Described by Leslie Wu Foley and John Krinke. Descriptions read by Peter Haydu. Funding provided by the United States Department of Education. Credits roll. Cast of characters. Arnold Schwarzenegger as Quaid. Rachel Ticotin as Melina. Sharon Stone as Laurie. Ronnie Cox as Cohagen. Michael Ironside as Richter. Marshall Bell as George and Coato. Mel Johnson Jr. as Benny. Michael Champion as Helm. Roy Brocksmith as Dr. Edgemar. Ray Baker as McLean, Rosemary Dunsmore as Dr. Lull, David Nell as Ernie, Alexia Robinson as Tiffany, Dean Norris as Tony, Mark Carlton as the bartender, Debbie Lee Carrington as Thumbelina, Licia Knapp as Mary, Bobby Costanzo as Harry, Michael LaGuardia as Stevens, Priscilla Allen as the Fat Lady, Ken Strausbaugh as the Immigration Officer, Mark Alimo as Everett, Michael Gregory as the Rebel Lieutenant, Ken Gildon as the Hotel Clerk, Nikki Jones as the Burly Miner, Parker Whitman as the Martian Husband, Ellen Golas as the Martian Wife, Gloria Dorson as the Woman in the Phone Booth, Erica Carlson as Miss Lonely Hearts, Benny Coral as the Punk Cabby, Bob Zutiker as the Doctor, Eric Cord as the Lab Assistant, Frank Kopik as the Technician, Chuck Sloan and David Nicholson as the Scientists, Paula McClure as the Newscaster, Rebecca Ruth as the Reporter, Milt Tarver as the Commercial Announcer, Roger Cudney as the Agent, Monica Stoyer as the Mutant Mother, Sasha Rionda as the Mutant Child, Linda Howell as the Tennis Pro, Robert Picardo as the voice of Johnny Cab. Additional voices: Anne Lockhart, Morgan Lofting, Bob Bergen, Kamala Lopez, Patty Attar, Joe Unger, and Carlin Nicholson. Stunt coordinators: Vic Armstrong and Joel Kramer. Stunts: Andy Armstrong, Alejandro Avendano, Bruce Barber, Gary Baxley, Dickie Beer, Clay Boss, May Boss, Simon Boiserie, Tony Brubaker, Sherry Ray Bryson, Richard Butler, Roger Callard, Ignacio Careno, Jorge Casares, Ann Chatterton, Doug Coleman, Simon Crane, Graham Crowther, Vince Dedrick, Leon Delaney, Nick Dimitri, Kenny Endoso, Jeannie Epper, Stephanie Epper, Donna Evans, Dana Evanson, Jose Gallegos, Buddy Gilliard, Alan Graff, Ed Hamilton, Roy Harrison, Swan Hefner, Freddie Heiss, John Hawk, Marsha Hawley, Bob Horegui, Jeff Jensen, Jess Johnson, Peter Kent, Steve Lambert, Jean LaBelle, Wendy Leach, Fred Lerner, A. Michael Lerner, Billy Lucas, Lars Lundgren, Maurizio Martinez, Mike McGoffey, Bronco McLaughlin, Wayne Michaels, Benny Moore, Gabriela Moreno, Gerardo Moreno, Steve Piserny, Gabor Piroche, Terry Richards, Walt Robles, Greg Sargent, Cherie Tash, Rafael Valdez, Rick Waugh, Gary Wayton, J. David Webster, Danny Wasselis, George P. Wilbur, and Dick Zeiker. Production managers: Anwar Badin and Terry Collis. Unit manager: Juan Clemente Prosper. Production chief: Marco Aurelio Ortiz. Production associate: Dennis J. Parrish. First assistant directors: Juan Carlos Cuqui Lopez and Miguel Lima. Second assistant directors: Inigo Vallejo, Matthew Feichens, Efren Del Moral, Ileana Franco Yu, Hugo Gutierrez Coyer, and Guillermo Carreño Saved. Art directors: James Tocci and Jose Rodriguez Granada. Set designers: Marco Trentini, Miguel Chang, and Carlos Echeverria. Set decorator: Robert Gould. Illustrator: Stephen Berg. Conceptual artist: Ron Cobb. Storyboard artist: Giacomo Gaza. Assistant art directors: Hector Romero Cardenas, Neil Lamont, Jonathan McKinstry, and Judy Kammer. Set dressers: Jose E. Solorio and Teresa Wachter. Assistant set decorator: Etta Leff. Camera operators: Annette Helmick, SOC, Donald Bryant, and Carlos Montano, J. First assistant camera: Xavier Perez Grobet, Hector Marcos Garcia Marin, and Guillermo Moisen Rosas. Second assistant camera: Juan Manuel Priego and Teodoro Garcia Lopez. Production sound: Nelson Stoll, CAS, and Fred Runner. Second unit directed by Vic Armstrong. Second unit director of photography: Alex Phillips, ASC. Cableman: Heriberto Cardenas. Visual effects photography: Rexford Metz, ASC. Post-production supervisor: Michael R. Sloan. Post-production coordinator: Nuri Denahi. Assistant editors: Derek Brechin, Teresa Longo, Carlos Puente Ortega, Edgar Pavon Arce, and Florent Retz. Apprentice editor: Humberto Luna Gallardo. Supervising sound effects editor: Stephen H. Flick. Sound effects editors: David Bartlett, Ronald Bartlett, James Christopher, MPSE, Donald Flick, Nicholas James, George Simpson. Assistant sound editors: Douglas C. Kent, Rosemary Wheeler, Susan Matsei, Gina Spiro, and Dana Gustafson. Supervising ADR editor: Norman B. Schwartz. ADR editor: Hank Salerno. Supervising dialogue editor: Scott A. Hecker. Dialogue editor: David A. Arnold. Foley editors: Butch Wolf, Steve Richardson, and Judy Flick. Special sound effects: John Pospisil, Alan Howarth. Re-recording mixers, Michael J. Kohut, CAS, Carlos Delarios, and Aaron Roshin, CAS. Re-recordists, Daniel Sharp and John W. Briante. Music supervisor, Steve Love. Music editor, Kenneth Hall. Assistant music editor, Daryl Hall. Music engineer, Bruce Botnick. Orchestration, Arthur Morton. Video coordinator, Richard Clark. Video graphics designer, Brent Collins. Video edit coordinator, Carol Keneally. Assistant video engineer, Victor Anderberry and Bruno Luschwarn. Electronic effects, Giuseppe Carrozza. Lighting gaffer, Robert Bremner. Rigging gaffer, John Matthews. Electricians, gaffers, Ignacio Macaron, Enrique Morales Montanes, Francisco Robles Mota, and Jim Gritchie. Electrical best boy, Billy Thornhill. Chief electrician, Adolfo Lara. Best boy, Gustavo Covarrubias Garcia, key and dolly grip, Chunky Hughes. Special effects supervisor, Thomas L. Fisher. Special effects chief, Federico Farfan Gutierrez. Special effects, Scott Fisher, William Gregory Curtis, Dale Martin, and James Rollins. Costume supervisor, Joan Skelton Thomas. Set costumer, Tania Lednicki. Assistant costume designer, Mayas Castillero de Rubio. Wardrobe, Abel Melo and Ismael Jardin Tejas. Makeup artists, Jefferson Dawn, Craig Berkeley, and Robin Weiss. Hairstylists, Peter Tothball and Michael White. Production controller, Jim Davidson. Production auditors, Nora Lozano and Armando Amador Diaz. Assistant production accountants, Joel Rosenberg, Mark Katcher, and Maria Asuncion Gomez. Location managers, Anna Roth and Lily Flashner. Script supervisors, Trudy Ramirez and Lilia Soto Aragon. Marketing coordinator, Steve Newman. Casting, Mexico, Claudia Becker. Still photographers, David Appleby and David James. Crowd coordinator, Jesus Guerrero. Security chief, Mayor Jorge Mancilla Lopez. Production coordinator, Judith Goodman. Production secretaries, Jean Joe and Rosa Lilia Perez Ortega. Assistant to Mr. Verhoeven, Lynn Ehrensberger. Assistants to Mr. Bowden, Belinda Uriegas and Pablo Buelna. Production assistants, Stephen Leonetti and Charles Pattinson. Assistants to executive producers, Kim Balser and Jane Bulmer. Los Angeles liaison, Craig Campobasso. Assistants to Mr. Schwarzenegger, Michael Wacker, Lynn Marks, and Rhonda Cullum. Trainer, Sven Ole Thorsen. Publicity, Parker Public Relations and Peggy Siegel Company. Construction coordinator, Cal De Valerio. Foreman, William Boyd and Gary Deaton. Construction foreman, Thomas B. De Valerio and Daniel Pemberton. Painters, George Hansen, Daniel Hermosillo, Larry Clark, Carlos Romero, Francisco Marinos Romero, and Enrique Lechuga Hernandez. Carpenters, John Elliott, Dominic Garacci, Donald Hardenberg, Scott Goodale, and Warren Williams. Carpenter groups, America, Baltazar, Castaneda, Charol, Independencia, Libertad, De La Torre, and Estrella. Plaster supervisor, Alex Scutty. Plasterers, Daniel Perugini, Alfredo Gomez Capetillo, Antonio Gomez Capetillo, and Elpidio Cano Castro. Lead man, Scott Bobbitt. Set dressing assistant, Ana Sanchez Genard. Property master, Antonio Mata. Prop maker, Nazareno Scolaccia. Prop supervisor, Antonio Mata Ortiz. Warehouse supervisor, Benjamin Suarez. Transportation captains, Alan Collis and David Trevino. Transportation, John Carpenter, Jack Collis, Bob DeWitt, John Downey, and Alma Rosa Elizondo. Transportation co-captain, Jesus Martinez. Transportation, Donald Collis, Lynn Collis, John Dickinson, and Tim Wolfe. Visual effects supervisor, Eric Brevig. Visual effects producer, B.J. Rack. Special visual effects, Dream Quest Images. Visual effects producer, Mary Sisseloff. Visual effects executive producer, Keith Shartle. Director of miniature photography, Alex Funk. Motion control supervisor, Scott Beatty, Michael Bigelow, Rob Burton, and Michael Shea. Plate photography, Chuck Schumann and Chris Duddy. Blue screen technician, Rick Johnson. Matte photography, James Green. Senior matte artist, Robert Sifo. Matte artists, Ken Allen, Jesse Silver, and Donna Tracy. Animation supervisor, Jeff Burks. Animation camera, Pat Kenley and Angelica Casillas. Rotoscope supervisor, James Valentine. Lighting effects, Gary Platek. Motion control electronics, Fred Iguchi and Robert Wilcox. Optical supervisor, Jeff Matakovich. Optical compositing, David McHugh, Marlo Pabon, Christopher Gregg, Dennis Dorney, Georgie Huntington, and Rich Cohen. Visual effects editor, Kathy Chasen Hay. Visual effects assistant editors, Eric Henry, Jay Ignacevsky, and Linda Renault. Production Manager, Tracy Hauser. Production Coordinator, Jennifer Oates. Miniatures provided by Stetson Visual Services, Incorporated. Miniatures Supervisors, Mark Stetson and Robert Spurlock. Chief Model Maker, George Trimmer. Designer Crew Chief, Tom Valentine. Construction Crew Chief, Richard C. Welch. Crew Chief, Dana Juricic. Key Standby Man, Jim McGeechee. Skeleton Sequence, Metrolight Studios, Incorporated. CGI Animation Director, Tim McGovern. CGI Animation Line Producer, George Merkert. Senior Animators, Rich Cohen and Tom Hutchinson. Data Modeling, Con Peterson, Neil Escuri, and Alan Ridenour. Animator, George Carl. Software Designer, Steve Clevat, Yun-Chen Sung, and Mark Lassoff. Animation Camera, Bill Kent. General Manager, Metrolight Studios, Jim Kristoff. Additional optical effects by Industrial Light and Magic, a division of LucasArts Entertainment Company, Marin County, California. Visual Effects Supervisor, Dave Carson. Visual Effects Producer, Janet Healy. Optical Photography Supervisor, Brad Kuhn. Visual Effects Coordinator, Ann Calancini. Visual Effects Editor, Deborah Wolf. Optical Lineup, Tom Rossiter, Dave Karpman, and Lori Nelson. Negative Cutter, Roberto McGrath. Rotoscope Supervisor, Tom Bertino. Optical Camera, John Alexander and James Hagedorn. Character Visual Effects by Rob Botten. Rob Botten Effects Crew. Project Coordinators, Fernando Favila and Don Severdia. Henry Alvarez, Jennifer Ann Barnes, Amanda Beard, Jim Belohovic, Margaret Becerra, Paula Byers, Roland Blancaflor, Marcus Brandley, James Clark, Al Coulter, Tracy DeFritis, Brian Dew, Stephen Dupuy, Jim Feldman, Gunnar Ferdinandsen, Greg Fagiel, Tammy Feitz, Lee Grodsky, Gloria Heilton, Karen Kleinfeld, Don McLeod, Robin McDonald, Tricia McFarlane, Chuck Montoya, Becky Ochoa, Dennis Pollock, Art Pimentel, Vince Prentice, Tom Prosser, Alberto Ravilla, Samuel Saints, Ernie Shelton, Lauren Soman, Al Souza, Miles Tevis, Blake Torney, Andrea Toste, and Stuart Ziff. Process compositing by Hansard. Panther Dolly and Crane Arm supplied by FGV Panther Corporation of America. Medical services provided by LifeStar International, James A. Dorta, M.D., Craig Fade, M.D., and Vincent Young. M-900 weapons furnished by Coleco, Bakersfield, California. AT-9 weapons furnished by Feather Incorporated, Boulder, Colorado. Picture vehicles provided by Mike Fennell Enterprises. Production equipment provided by Servicios Filmicos Antonio Hernandez Campuzano, S.A. de C.V. Stock footage provided by Dreamlight Images Incorporated, Pacific Data Images. Special technical props by Modern Props Incorporated. Digital keyboards by Yamaha. Production insurance provided by Albert G. Rubin & Company, Incorporated. Video wall by Imtech International, New York, New York. Completion bond provided by Complete Film Corporation. Survival knives and GS9 semi-automatic pistols provided by L. John K. Gaunce. Weapons provided by Stembridge Gun Rentals, Incorporated. Production financing provided by Franz J. Affman, Credit Lyonnaise Bank, Nederland, N.V. Mutant Dancing, Running Out of Air, and Rubble City, written and performed by Bruno Luschwarn. Produced by Joe Lamont. Published by Ligon Street Music and Barney Sue Music. A special thanks to Estudios Cherubusco Azteca, Marco Julio Linares, Instituto Mexicano de Cinematografic, Enrique Soto Izquierdo, and Javier Ibarra Herrera, Centro de Producción Cuayi, Emilio Bruillo, Azcarraga, and Luis Velo, Jose de Marta Casado, American Express, Armstrong Tire Company, Curtis Mathis, Dynascan Cobra, Hilton Hotels, Proton, Larry Waterman, Jed the Fish Gould, Central de Aduanas, Continental Airlines, Trojan Battery Company, Tritech Corporation, ESPN Incorporated, Brahma Incorporated, Fabergé USA Incorporated, Adolf Coors Company, Novatel, Pepsi-Cola, Miller Brewing Company, Scenario Incorporated, Design Logic, Dan Speaker, Digital Creations Progressive Image Technology, Xerox Corporation, Sistema de Transporte Colectivo Metro, Departamento del Distrito Federal, Gallery of Functional Art, Sid Dutton and Bill Taylor, ASE, Midnight Express Courier and Freight Services, Northwest Airlines, Hoteles Royal, Mexico, Sharper Image Stores, USA Today, Mars Today, U.S. Sprint Network 2000, Bill Goralski, David Gale, Lisa Krohn, Michelle Sayi, Tom Farage, and Bob Justin. Music performed by the National Philharmonic Orchestra Limited, recorded at CBS Studios, London. Original soundtrack available on Verres Saraband compact discs and cassettes. Play the Nintendo game from Acclaim Entertainment. Read the novel from Avon Books. Copyright 1990 Carolco Pictures Incorporated, U.S. and Canada. Carolco International NV, all other countries. All rights reserved. Carolco Pictures Incorporated and Carolco International NV are the co-authors of this film for the purpose of copyright and other laws. Total Recall is a trademark of Carolco Pictures Incorporated and Carolco International NV. Negative Cutter, Donna Bassett and Associates. Title Design, Wayne Fitzgerald. Cameras by ARRI. Titles and Opticals by Cinema Research Corporation. Processing and Prints, Technicolor Incorporated. Color Timer, Ron Lambert. Dolby Stereo Consultant, Douglas Greenfield. Re-recording at Columbia Studios. Number 30288 of the Motion Picture Association of America. Spectral Recording, Dolby Stereo SR in selected theaters. The persons and events portrayed in this production are fictitious. No similarity to actual persons living or dead is intended or should be inferred.